Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here as well. It's been a while since we recorded.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. Yep. It's always weird for us to get back in the saddle. So we're here, though.
Yes.
And we're ready to kick this thing off.
We're ready because we got our last episode for this series.
Yeah, finally. This series has lasted a long time.
Yes. So this is episode 203, and it's number 13 in our 13 thankful meditations.
Yeah, we've basically been doing this since the first of the year. It started a little bit after the first of the year.
Yeah.
But it's been at least 13 weeks worth of it, which is a long time, most of this year. And the idea was for me and Steph personally, but also hopefully everybody listening, to be able to grow in our gratitude and grow in our thankfulness. And we thought a good way to accomplish that would be to meditate on some of these writers, Christian writers, priests, theologians, preachers, pastors, to be able to just kind of chew on these things and hopefully become people who are more thankful and walk in gratitude every single day, right? I want to be a person who does not walk around and one thing happens in the day and I call it a bad day, when there's so many, and like we talked about last episode, there's millions of things every single day that we should be and could be thankful for if we were mindful about those things, instead of just being mindful about whatever is sucking for the day. Or whatever is not how we want it to be. You know, I'm world's worst. And that's why I want to grow as being somebody thankful.
I feel that.
My wife has said that to me for a long time, and that's one of the reasons why this year I really wanted, instead of some stupid New Year's resolution, I really wanted to be, you know, I wanted to grow my thankfulness. Because my wife would go, "You got so many good things. Why are you so irritated or down about one or two things?" Because I'm literally that person who one bad thing happens, and it ain't really that bad, and I'll call it a bad day. I'll say this has been a rough day or a tough day, and I can only point to one or two things. Instead of, one or two things is always going to happen, but look at all these other things. Look at all these other blessings. Look at all these people and opportunities. And even if you don't see those, I mean, the fact that we all woke up this morning and for most, we're healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
What is there really to complain about? Right? You know what I mean? And I want to be a person who complains less. And I think the way we complain less is we're more thankful. I think that's like the equation for it. If you want to be somebody who complains less, then you got to be more thankful, right? Yeah. And you'll stop complaining so much, right? And I'm somebody who complains a lot. So.
You actually made me think of something. I've been thinking about lately how I feel like I have become more of a chronic complainer, and my sister and I have been joking about it lately. When she was in the States recently, like me, my sister, and my dad were all together. This is the Lee side of the family. Right. We were all getting out of the car, and we all complained about one thing, getting out of the car, and we're like, we got to stop this.
It's just so easy to do, you know, like it's just so easy to see the negative. You know what I mean? To see the... What Valerie said to me years ago, now she said it multiple times and I didn't listen, but when she said this to me, it really hurt in my heart because it was true. And I think about it all the time. She said, "You see your blessings as burdens."
Yeah.
Right? Like you see your blessings as burdens. Like your kids are a blessing and half the time you see them as a burden. Your house is a blessing and you see it as a burden because there's stuff that breaks. Your grass in your yard, right, that you have to mow and take care of, you see it as a burden instead of the blessing that it is that you have. It was one of those times where she was really laying into me about it because it was not good, you know, and it had been going on for a while. And I didn't like it. I fought with her about it. But then after I got to thinking on it, Holy Spirit starts moving inside of our hearts about it, right, and convicting. I'm like, man, she's right. I have this tendency to see things that are blessings as burdens, right? It's just so easy to see all the annoyances. And the responsibilities, right? Instead of responsibilities being a blessing, right, which they really are, we just see them as a burden. Oh, I have to do this. This is just life. This is just life. You know, that was just me. So
yeah, and also, like, if you're a person that's, like, hard on yourself, yeah, it can be really, really difficult yeah to stay. Like, you can be a positive person, but you'll see things really, like, with a different lens sometimes, so you can complain more often. It's, yeah, it's hard.
I think if you look through Scripture, what you find is not this. You do not find this, which is what we see in our culture right now. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a little skewed. It's a little off.
Yes.
You do not see in Scripture that the command is to be positive.
Right.
You see in Scripture that the command is to be thankful. Right?
That's right. You're right.
And praise and praising, right? And to be giving, you know what I mean? Be giving glory and honor. Like, you see this command not to just be a positive person.
Yeah.
Like, the Bible's never calling you to walk through life with rose-colored glasses. Neither does Jesus. Look at Jesus' words. They're all rooted in this thankfulness and in God's glory, God's kingdom. They're looking to the future, and the future's bright. Right,
yeah,
if you look at Jesus' words. But he's also not rose-colored glasses. He's not painting things. I mean, he's saying things like, hey, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. In this world, you will have trouble. Like, that statement from Jesus alone, in this world, you will have trouble, take heart, I've overcome the world, is not, you just walk around going, well, everything's perfect in the world. No, it's not.
Right.
It's not perfect in the world. It's okay to say that. But it's going, everything's going to be rooted in, I'm thankful, and I know that God's on the throne, and that there's hope, right?
Yeah.
And there's joy, no matter what's going on. And it's never this call pull to be, like, our culture now has this pull to be, you need to be positive. You need to be positive. And I get where it's going. I don't think it's wrong or anything. I just think that if you look through Scriptures, that it's not just to be blindly positive.
Yeah.
Right? It's really found in, it's rooted in thankfulness.
I'm glad you said that,
because,
you know, sometimes I can be around different people that
right
focus on that a lot.
Right.
So it can make you feel, even though you know that that's not the focus, it can make you feel like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not
right
being positive
right
enough? You know?
Right. And, you know, because there is lots of things that you can't have a positive outlook on every single thing in life. There are certain things that are not good, and they should be called not good.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a little off track, but, and I don't mean to ramble on it, but I just thinking about this the other day. Like, when Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, he knows he's going to raise him from dead to life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he still is crying and sobbing about it. In other words, there are things in this life that do suck.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's actually the right way to be, is to call out that this is not good. This is bad. This is not a good thing. You don't have to be positive about it, right? But what we have to do is make sure that our hope is rooted in the right place, our joy is rooted in the right place, and I think all of that is bred from having this deep innate sense that God is in control,
mm-hmm,
and that there's millions of things to be thankful about too, right? Which keeps us focused in the right way. But it's okay to say that something's not good. You know what I mean? That's not you not being positive. You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
It really is, and I think you see this. I think you see it specifically from Jesus over and over and over again.
Yeah.
He'll call out things that are not good, even though he knows, like with Lazarus, even though he knows he's about to change it, right? He says that, you know, it's for a purpose that he died, but it still doesn't mean that it's good and positive. You know
yeah
what I mean? Like, it still sucked. Anyway.
Someone else needed to hear that today.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. And that's,
thank
and
you,
that's
God,
just kind of what we're doing in the series, right? So
mm-hmm
we're going to wrap it up today. We're going to wrap up this idea. We're just kind of meditating on, chewing on. We talked about that a lot through. I won't say it again. chewing on these scriptures and these big thoughts about thankfulness. And we want to be people who are thankful. So hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully. And I know this is true. But hopefully we are more thankful, or at least mindful of it, than we were 13, 14 episodes ago. You know?
Yeah.
Hopefully. And I never in my life. I have never in my life spent a dedicated period of time like we've done on this podcast series on intentionally growing thankfulness and gratitude. It's the
yeah
first time I've ever done it in my life. And I bet you it's probably the first time for everybody listening. I don't know anybody who sat down and goes, for 13 straight weeks, I'm going to try to grow my gratitude and thankfulness. You know what I mean? So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? So we're better than we were to begin with, right? And that's the goal.
Definitely.
Right? That's the goal. It's not to be perfect at this. It's not to have it all straight. It's, are we growing? Are we maturing? Are we better than we were 13 weeks ago? My answer to that is absolutely yes.
Me too.
Right? So I'm thankful for it. So anyway, we're going to wrap this thing up today, and we're going to do it with not a quote, but a scripture, which I guess is a quote too. But regardless, this is actually scripture in the Bible. All the rest of them that we've done have been from authors, leaders, theologians, priests, pastors. And so today we're going to do one from the scripture. Number 203. Steph, what do you got?
I'll read this quote right here. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that says Paul the Apostle.
And this is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, if you want to read that whole section in your Bible. That is the end of the book of, or the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And this is mostly attributed to the Apostle Paul, mm-hmm. mostly. It's not actually 100% accurate that Paul wrote Thessalonians, but it's the best guess we got. And it does line up with some of his other writings. But that's where this is coming from. Now, here's what's cool. In this scripture, this is at the end. In this scripture, at the end of 1 Thessalonians, it's talking a lot about the end of days, the return of Jesus, right? The end times, not talking about all the end time like prophecy stuff, right? Or symbols and signs that you would see and all that. It's talking about how we live, knowing that the end is near, right? That's this main section. And there's a lot in here for believers. And so it's talking about like how you should be living, especially in, or the mindset you should have, especially in the days of Jesus is coming back. And so also in this section, I think it might have been in the chapter before, it might be in this chapter, it says, it's either 4 or 5, it talks about the fact that nobody knows the day, right? So this directly applies to us because we also, just like them that we're getting this, these people in the church in Thessalonica, we are in the same boat. Jesus ain't come back yet. And so we should be looking towards that, whatever that is, right? Whenever it happens, and we're mm-hmm. not going to know when. And so it's written directly for us too. If Jesus ain't come back yet, here's how your mindset should be. And this mm-hmm. one little piece is saying, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is pretty important. And this whole section in Thessalonians here is about mindset. It's about what the Christian mindset should look like. So if you go back to chapter 4, there is a scripture in chapter 4 that I use at almost every single funeral that I do. And it's usually used at the graveside, right? You know, when you leave the building and you go out and you're actually burying, right? The graveside part of it. I just actually talked to Pastor Matt at our Caswell campus about this today because he has a funeral tomorrow. And we were talking about this particular portion of it. And I was like, I always use this, almost always, not always, but I always use this at the graveside. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's this mindset piece where he says, and I'm going to paraphrase, so we won't go look it up. But he talks about don't be like everybody else who thinks that life's just over when it's over. And he continues with, we know that that's not the case. And we know that we will be raised back to life just like Jesus is, right? Mm-hmm. And that the end is not the end. And the reason he says don't be like everybody else, don't have that mindset, is because in Thessalonica, in that area, there was an inscription in the city. And so they didn't have signs like we have, right? They had inscriptions. And so you mean literally like a rock chiseled into it with an inscription. These inscriptions were everywhere. They were about all kinds of stuff. And there was this inscription in the city of Thessalonica that basically said, after death, no reviving. After death, no life, right? In other words, this is it. When you die, there ain't nothing else, right? And everybody in the town and in the city sees this inscription all the time. And so he's pausing and going, hey, look, that ain't us, right? That ain't us, because we believe that Jesus died and he rose back to life and he's going to come back and get us. Therefore, after death, there is life, right? There is what the inscription said is after death, no reviving, after death, no meeting again, right? And what he's reminding them of is that we are going to meet again, right? That this is not it. And so we use those at funerals to remind people that if that person who's died is in Christ and you're in Christ, this is not goodbye. This is goodbye for now, right? Yeah. This is see you later, right? That there is life after death. Because of Jesus's resurrection, right? That we live in that too. And so it's this mindset of, it's not just life's over. And so when he gets to this, it's yet another mindset piece, right? So what we want, and I love the fact that this is the last one in the series, right? We didn't plan it. It just happened that way. That is talking mindset. So here's our mindset. Be joyful always. which is an interesting statement. We'll come back to it. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. We'll just do those three.
Mm-hmm.
So the Christian mindset should be joyful always. Even when life sucks, like we talked about a few minutes ago, even when you can actually identify the fact that this is not good, and you should identify it, don't just be positive, but you still should give joy. You should have joy in all those situations.
Yeah.
That your joy is rooted in Jesus, and what he's leaning into is your joy is found, your hope is found in Jesus' return, right? That you can bank on the fact that no matter what happens here, you can have joy because he's going to finish what he started, is sort of what Paul is leaning to here, right? So the mindset of us as Christians is we should be joyful always. We should always have joy. No matter what comes in life, we have a reason to be joyful, right? And so we got to fight for that all the time, right? This has been a chronic fight in my life because I feel like there's been lots of times where I'm not somebody who's rooted in joy. You know what I mean? And that does come from what you talked about before, of if we're constantly seeing blessings as burdens and we're constantly battling to not be complainers, like you said earlier, a chronic complainer, then you're not going to be somebody who's joyful if you're always doing those things.
Yep, it's true.
And so mindset for us is that we have reason to be joyful all the time, no matter what's coming in life. That's the first one. And then it says pray continually, right? So what are we supposed to be doing all the time? In communication with God, right? In communication with God. That doesn't mean that you are a monk sitting around praying on your knees by yourself, chanting out loud or quietly 24 hours a day. That's not what praying continually means. It means that you are in a constant communication relationship with God all day long, right? In the middle of the task that you have to do. Because, you know, when you see something like pray continually, it doesn't absolve you of all the responsibilities you have to have as a person, right? It doesn't absolve you. So, like you don't go, well, this says pray continually, so I don't have to work anymore. I just sit around and pray. Well, that's not the case. You pray while you are doing those things. You're constantly talking to God. And also, you got to remember, too, is that you're constantly listening to God, right? We're listening. And so when we go through our day, it's, God, I'm about to walk into this. Help me with this. And then you're listening. What do you want me to do? What are you saying to me? What's happening right now? Like, it's just a constant communication. So we're going to be joyful always. That's the mindset. We're going to be praying continually. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. I think the reason he says these like this is because they're all similar. Like, they're almost interchangeable. It's almost like he's saying the same statement three different ways.
Always, continually, and all.
And they're all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
So being joyful all the time is also tied to being in prayer and communication with God, you know, connected, right, all the time. And then giving thanks in every single circumstance that would come about in life is also connected. And that give thanks in every circumstance hits just about every one of these meditations we've done over the last 13 weeks, that you can be thankful in every single thing that happens to you, around you, through you, by you, you can still be thankful. And so, once again, if you put all these together, like you said, what'd you say? Always, continually, all circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. This is the mindset we should have as Christ followers, right? And in every single circumstance, you and I can be thankful. If you want to meditate on that, then what you try to do is you try to think of circumstances that would make you go, is this accurate? Right. So the way I do this, the way I think through stuff like this is I'll go, when I see an absolute, like this is an absolute statement, give thanks to God in all circumstances. It's an absolute. It means every single one. So the way I would meditate on this is I would go, all right, let me think of one that would be really hard to give thanks in that circumstance for and figure out if I can do it. Right. So you just got a diagnosis at the doctor that is not good. Is it possible to give thanks in that circumstance? You know, you think through that. How would I be thankful in that circumstance? If I just went to work today and I lost my job, but the scripture tells me to be thankful in all circumstances, how am I thankful in that circumstance?
Mm.
And this really plays really good with the one that we did, episode, I don't know which one it was. It was number 11. It was the Matthew Henry one where he thanks God for not being robbed before, and then the fact that he didn't have much money, and then the fact that he wasn't the one doing the robbing. You know what I'm talking about,
one.
Right? Like, that was another where this bad thing happens, and so how am I thankful in that situation? It's almost like that quote was Matthew Henry actually practicing what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is commanding, right?
That's true.
Right. Give thanks in all circumstances. So if you want to meditate on that truly, think about the crappiest thing that's happened to you lately and go, as a Christ follower, my mindset should be or should have been that I would give thanks even in that circumstance. How do I do that? Right? How do I do that? You know, how do I give thanks in that circumstance? And if you're ever around somebody who does this well, you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can see it. You can feel it. And it don't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like this, something will happen to this person. And they'll go, well, at least this didn't happen. Or, well, I still got this. Or, oh, well, I'll find another job. Or this will be okay. Or, you know, my kids still love me. My husband still loves me. My wife still loves me. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they're finding ways to be thankful and joyful in every single circumstance. And that probably comes from a direct connection to God of praying continually, right?
Yeah.
Where God is this idea of you're connected and God's reminding you, even in a crappy circumstance, he's reminding you, oh, but there's joy. Oh, but there are things to be thankful for. Yeah, that happened and it sucked and it's okay. And you can call it that, but let me make sure that you understand the Holy Spirit's like connected in that prayer continually. Let me make sure you understand that there's still joy here and there's still lots to be thankful for. And the crappiest things that have happened in my life, if you were really tuned into them, later on, you can actually be thankful for the crappy things. You know what I mean? Because there's something that happens with them. There's something that God does with them. There's some way it wakes you up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I got fired from a church one time, a long time ago, and I didn't do anything wrong. It was just leadership disagreement.
Or, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Best way to say it, right? And I got let go. And I was devastated. Devastated. And I thought it was over. And I thought, I don't want to do this ministry thing no more. I'm tired of this crap. I'm tired of church hurt. I'm tired of, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to do this no more. It's got to be a better way. I love Jesus, but I can't stay in his church. I don't want to do this no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And for the first time in my whole adult life, I didn't work in full-time ministry. I went and worked for a nonprofit instead. And then if you fast forward, it's almost like now looking at it, it happened just like that. You know, a year and a half later, Aiden is born, and then we plant this church. And now looking back on it, I'm thankful that I got fired. I'm thankful that that went down, even though I was devastated for at least a year. Nothing has rocked my faith more than that. And now I look back on it and I go, man, I'm so glad that happened. I'm so glad that I don't think I ever would have jumped off the ledge and planted a church if that would have never happened. I think I'd have just stuck there and been content and never done what God felt like God. Because me and Valerie always felt like God was calling us to plant a church, right? Like forever. We just couldn't articulate that fully. You know what I mean? But if that didn't happen, I'd have never done it. And so now I can look back and go, man, I'm even thankful that it actually happened. I'm glad that it happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you can be thankful in the circumstance, but if you also look through the bad circumstances way later, you can be thankful that those things happened as well. I'm saying all that to say this is all about mindset. Now, here's my favorite part. The last part is my favorite part. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's his will for you. I love talking about God's will. Because people get all crazy about it. And I feel like I have too for years, but I've had like this breakthrough in the last 5, 6, 7 years on God's will, right? Because there's God's greater will and then there's God's specific will, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is it God's specific will for you, Stephanie, to marry Jonathan, right? And that's one of them things you kind of walk through and you go, is this what God wants me to do? Is God want me to marry Jonathan? You know what I mean? Like specific will. And that's specific to you because I'm not marrying Jonathan. Like I'm not having to ask, you know, God's will on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or God's specific will. Do I take this job? You know, do I go to this school? Do I major in this? And we get so caught up in God's specific will that half the time we get frozen, right? And you know what I mean? Like we don't step. And I don't think we should worry as much about God's specific will as we do God's general will. Am I in the will of God is an easy question to answer.
That's good.
Right? It's easy to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in the will of God? And there's so many scriptures that point to this. This is just one that point to ways that you can clearly know that you are in the will of God. Therefore, when you don't understand the specific will, you pray, you seek guidance, right? You ask people, and then you just kind of try, right? You just kind of go for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the majority of the decisions we make at church, I'm like 75% sure that God is specifically calling us to do this, like 75%. And sometimes I'm right, right? And sometimes I'm wrong. But if you are in God's will, if you're in His your general will, then what He promises to do is direct your steps and move your path directly for Him, right? You know what I mean? So if you happen to get just a little off track on the specific will of God and you take one little step to the left, then His promise is, well, you're in my greater will, so I'll just guide you back gradually, right? Or I'll just help you move back. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to get paralyzed by figuring out, you know, does God want me to take this job? Well, pray about it, seek the Holy Spirit, ask somebody, you know, get some guidance. Because by the way, I think that God confirms what the Holy Spirit is saying to us primarily through other people.
Yeah.
Right? Primarily. So if I feel like, hey, I think God's calling me this, and I say this to somebody that I trust, that's mature in the faith, that we would call them, maybe they aren't literally this, but we call them like an elder in their faith, and they said, well, yeah, I think God is saying this to you, and it's the same thing you've been hearing. Well, He just confirmed what the Holy Spirit was saying to you through somebody else, right? So I think that's the primary way. Yeah, do those things, and then you got to take a step. You got to take a leap of faith, right? You just got to roll with it. 75%, 80% sure, go with it, right? And if you're in God's greater will, He'll guide you into exactly what He wants in that specific will, even if you picked the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I'm so thankful for it. And that's how that's what I've learned in leading a church is I'm not going to clearly know this is God's specific will in this moment, whether we make this decision. I just want to be in His general will. If I'm in His general will, if I'm in the will of God, right, I am pursuing Him with my heart. I'm doing the things that the Bible says put me in the will of God, then He'll direct all my paths in the specific will. Mm-hmm. So like this one in particular, here's a key one. If you are somebody who's fighting for joyfulness, if you're somebody who's trying to pray continually, trying to stay connected, all right, and if you're somebody who's trying your best to give thanks in all circumstances, you can know that you are in the will of God, right? You are. It says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God's will for you in Christ Jesus is to be joyful, to be in prayer and connection with God all the time, and to give thanks in every single circumstance. If you are fighting to do that, then you're in His will. And so when He gets to specific will time, make the best decision you can and trust that I'm doing these things, I'm in His will, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love talking about God's will. So I love scriptures that say to me, this is God's will. This one's blunt. This is God's will for you, Christian. And this is how He's saying this. This is God's will for you, Christian, in this specific season, because He's talking about in the later days, and this is your mindset. This is God's will for you. Have joy. Always have joy. Be joyful always, right? Pray all the time. Be continually in prayer. Connect with God constantly. Be listening. Be talking, right? Be perceiving constantly. And then give thanks in every single circumstance, no matter what comes up, right? Good, mm-hmm. bad, ugly, give thanks. If you do that, that's God's will for you. You can sleep at night. This is the cool thing about it. Like, specific will stuff will make you lose sleep because you question it too much. Do I take this job? Do I take this job? Do I do this? Do I do this? Right? But if you are in God's general will, like this is, you can go to sleep at night. Right? I didn't do it perfect, but I'm trying to be joyful. I didn't do it perfect, but I'm trying to be connected and pray continually. I didn't do it perfect, but I'm giving thanks in all circumstances. Well, I can go to sleep tonight knowing that God's going, good job, son. You're in my will, right? This is the will of God for you. And we'll handle everything else together, right? We'll handle it all. You just stay in my will. It's pretty easy to stay in His will with that. Like if it's for us to stay in God's will, right? And we have some tasks to do make that happen. Well, that's a pretty easy list. I mean, these are pretty difficult, but none of it's earth shattering. Right? Be somebody who's joyful, be somebody who's praying, be somebody who's giving thanks. Then you're in God's will. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah, I've thought about this whole God's will thing a whole lot, and the leading my church, and then with my wife, with Valerie, leading our family and our kids, especially in the ages that they're in, and especially like Olivia right now, who's choosing colleges and majors and all this kind of stuff. You're like, baby, don't get so bogged down in that, you know? Be in God's will, in His mm-hmm. general will, and He'll help guide the rest of it. And if you're a little off on it, if you pick the wrong school, He'll figure it out for you. You know what I mean? Like, But if you're in his greater will, that's all that really matters, right? Be in his greater will. And then all the rest of that stuff kind of, it will work out. He will work it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He'll order our path or order our steps and guide us directly the right way. You know what I mean? So mindset here, guys listening, mindset is be somebody who is giving thanks in all circumstances, praying continually, having joy, and you know then you can rest your head, you can be certain that you're in God's will, right? It's a beautiful piece of scripture. Matter of fact, all of 1 Thessalonians, but especially the chapters 4 and 5, are really solid for what should our mindset be as Christ followers in these later days. In other words, in the days where Jesus has not returned, which would be our days too, here's the mindset you should have. It's a pretty cool section of scripture. And this one's right at the end. It might even be in the final words or final thoughts of that section. I think it might be. Anyway, I'm not gonna pull it up, but regardless. So all this talk we've done for 13 weeks, I think this verse really culminates and sums it up well. As Christ followers, we should be people who give thanks all the time, constantly, no matter what's coming. And if we do that, then we are in God's will and we can rest our head no matter what comes and no matter what mistakes and screw-ups we make, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good series, Steph.
I've loved this series.
It's been really good.
It's been helpful. I've learned a lot.
This is one of those series, I think I've said this multiple times, but we have not prepped a lot on it because we're trying to actually meditate on this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what this looks like. So you can take this idea and use this thought going forward on how you should read scripture. This is how you should read it. You should read it. You should understand some context and some history around it, but you should meditate on it, which basically means you just think through and talk about it, think through and talk about it, think through and talk about it. Over and over and over again. That's how it gets deep down inside your soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's how it gets deep inside your soul. So, if you do this enough, like with this scripture, you may not remember verse and chapter, right? I am not a scripture memorization person that well. I do really well with numbers. I do good with names. I don't do good with full sentences. And so, but the key is not necessarily memorizing it. It's getting it deep inside your soul. So just from a dialogue where you've been listening to the 30, 40 minutes of this, I bet you in the near future, if somebody said, you know, pray continually, have joy, give thanks in all circumstances, you might be able to then go, that's how I know I'm in God's will. You can tie those things together. You know what I mean? Because by talking about it like this and thinking on it, it gets deep in, right? And so when the world cuts you in one of these circumstances, you want to be able to bleed scripture. And so when the world cuts you in a bad circumstance, you want to be bleed out. Nope, I give thanks in all circumstances.
Right.
And when I do that, I'm in God's will. So if I don't know how to make a decision, that's okay. Am I in God's will? We'll figure it out together, you know? Anyway, been a good series.
Yes, and there's been so much, like, just good feedback.
Yeah.
So I know it's touched a lot of people as well.
Well, I really do think, you know, me and you were talking about this earlier with Jonathan, we were prepping a little bit on the next series. That the human condition is similar. Like, we're all the same.
Yeah.
We are much more the same than we are different, right? And I think that at least everybody I walk and talk with, I mean, 99 out of 100 that I would speak to really needs to work on being thankful, being mindful about being thankful, you know? So I think that might be why there's been such good feedback and stuff, because everybody needs to be focused on this. And it makes sense, too, if you think about it. Because if that's part of God's will, then that should be something we're all focused on all the time anyway.
Yeah,
right?
True.
You know what I mean? So, cool little tie-in. And I didn't think about none of that till now. So, anyway. Yep, so that's it for this series. We wrapped up this series. Completely done.
That is crazy, man.
And we got a new one coming up. And we're not going to share it with you right now. We're going to do a little intro message podcast, whatever you want to call it, for the next one to sort of set it up. So, be tuned in for the next series. But let's just end with this. We are thankful that you would listen to this podcast, right? And
so thankful
every single person, wherever you may find yourself. And, you know, once again, the human condition is similar. You're not alone, right? You're not alone. And so what do you think about us ending with a quick thankful prayer? What do you think?
That's crazy. I was actually thinking
that. You
about
to say
that?
Yeah. All right, I'll pray and then you close us out, okay?
Okay.
You can close out the prayer or you can just close out the episode.
No, you pray.
All right, I'll pray.
What?
Okay. You close out the episode. Okay. All right. God, we love you and we just want to stop and pause instead of just talking about being thankful and just literally sit here and be thankful. We thank you. What? For what? For everything. We thank you for everything. Stuff we can think of to list and the stuff we can't think of to list. And so help us, Father. We know you will. We're humbling ourselves before you. We know your help comes. Help us be people who are thankful. Help us be people who are rooted in gratitude to you for life and for all the blessings that you throw our way. And help us also be thankful for the burdens that we feel and those people who are in all circumstances thankful, God. We want to be in your will, and we know thankfulness is tied to us being in your will. Help us grow in that. And we thank you that we've been able to spend the last 13 episodes growing that thankfulness. You are good to us and kind to us, and we love you and we praise you. And it is our goal in life to be thankful people. So once again, Lord Jesus, we just say thank you. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank y'all for joining us, and we'll see you in the next series.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.